Sophie, for reading God's Word, reading it so well. Remember when Sophie came, she was just a little girl, like some of these small ones, and now she's growing up into a young lady. May God bless His Word. We are delighted to have as our special Children's Day speaker one of our elders, Jonathan McCauley, known to probably all of you that are here. And we're going to ask Jonathan to bring the message that the Lord has given to him for this morning, or the afternoon as it is now. He's a Sunday school teacher. He's a regular speaker at our Tuesday night meeting. And we're glad that he's here to speak at Children's Day. God bless you, Jonathan.
Well, boys and girls, I'm going to come down to yous. I feel more comfortable down here. Not that I feel very comfortable, but whenever I met my wife, people told me I was punching above my weight. And today I feel as if I'm punching above my weight a wee bit. But the Lord has said that He has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty, and I'm one of those weak things. And I'm happy enough with front of the boys and girls on a Tuesday night, but whenever all these people are watching, it gets a wee bit nervous, doesn't it? You know all about that standing up here. So first of all, to help us all, we're going to pray to help me to speak and help you to understand what I'm telling, and that the Holy Spirit comes amongst us. We're going to bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for an opportunity to share the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son into the world to die for our sins. And we just pray, Lord, now as we come to even bring thy word before the boys and girls, Lord, you'll help us. Help each boy and girl to even hear thy word. And Lord, most of all, we pray that boys and girls will even come to accept thee as their own and personal Savior. We pray this all in thy precious name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, hands up who has ever heard of a young man called Prince Harry? Oh, quite a lot. None of the old folk know him at all, it's just the boys and girls. Isn't that right? Well, who is Prince Harry? Prince Harry is a grandson of the Queen. He is ginger, so all the ginger people will be all happy that they now can affiliate with a prince. And not only is he a prince, he was in the army. And if some of you have been watching lately, you'll have noticed that he got married. And he was all dressed up in his regalia or his military uniform. And you know, I started to wonder what he did in the army. And so I'd done a wee bit of investigation and realised, maybe you all know this, but he was a captain in the army. And boys and girls, the story today is about a man in the Bible, and he was also a captain in the army. Now, unfortunately, the sun, it's nice to see the sun, but it's a wee bit hard to see the pictures. So I'm going to flick them on and hopefully see a wee bit. I'll just check every so often that you can see them. Yes, you can see that's not too bad. So Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army. And you know, boys and girls, he was a very important person. In fact, Naaman means handsome. I don't know if you know anybody handsome. Don't be looking up this way, for I'm not handsome. But there's some people, and they're very handsome. And you can imagine this big, tall, very straight officer in the army. And you know, he was a very important person. And we believe that he was one of the people that actually God allowed the Syrians to defeat the Israelites. Very unusual. God allowed the Syrian army to defeat the Israelites. And Naaman was the captain of that army. And you know, boys and girls, he had everything going for him. He was good looking, tall, dark, handsome. He had a lovely wife, he had a lovely house, he had a great job. He was in charge of all these army men. All these army men, he was in charge of them all. And that'd be a good job. Some of the boys would like that job. But boys and girls, even though he had all these privileges and all these great things that he could be happy about, there was something very sad in his life. You see, boys and girls, Naaman had a big, big problem. Something that you couldn't see from the outside, or that people maybe didn't know about. But boys and girls, the Bible tells us that Naaman had leprosy. Leprosy was a terrible disease. The Bible actually says, and Sophie read it earlier, he was a great man, but but he was a leper. That big but down there, but he was a leper. And you might say, what does that mean? Well, leprosy, I know, in Bible times, was a very, very awful disease. And it affected your skin, and eventually it affected all parts of your body. And you know, one day, the other very sad thing about it was, whenever you became a leper, you were taken out of the city, and you were put into another city far away, or a cave, or a leper's colony, so that you didn't mix with other people, so that the disease didn't spread. And you know, one day, maybe he was sitting at his breakfast, maybe he was walking, but Naaman discovered that he had leprosy. And he maybe was just looking at his sleeve, and he was maybe scratching his arm. And look what he saw. He saw a wee spot. Not a very big spot, but he saw a spot just like that. Now, don't be worrying. That's just Tippex. That's not leprosy. All right. But it was a wee spot like that. Can everybody see that? Yes. Not that big. But boys and girls, he knew straight away, because he knew what leprosy was. He knew that this leprosy was going to spread. It was going to get bigger. This leprosy was going to get worse. And he was really scared, because he could think, what's going to happen to me now? And you know, boys and girls, that reminds me so much of sin. Do you know that we are born with sin in our hearts? The Bible says we're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. And you know, boys and girls, sin is an awful thing. Sin destroys our lives. Sin, we can try and cover up. Naaman probably didn't run about. I guess he would have pulled down his sleeves. Maybe if he hadn't his hands, he would keep his hands behind his back. And he would try his very, very best for people not to see his leprosy. And you know, boys and girls and big people, they try and sometimes cover their sin. But do you know that God sees our sin? There was a woman in the Old Testament called Hagar, and she said, "Thou, God, seest me." God can see your sin. And another wee verse in the Bible says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." And you know, the very sad thing about sin, boys and girls, is this. Sin separates us from God. And if we live our lives with sin in our hearts, well then, it'll bring agony through our life. But worse than that, whenever we die, sin separates us from God. Wouldn't that be awful? And you know, whenever we die, the Bible tells us that if we still have sin in our hearts and we're sinners before God, then we go to a place called hell. There's heaven and there's hell. And boys and girls, we have to be aware of this. So, Naaman had a problem with leprosy. We have a problem with sin. But it's a good job that God had a plan. Do you know God has a plan for every boy and girl here today? He has a plan for every mommy and daddy, uncle and aunt, granny and granda. He loves you, and he had a plan. And God's plan was going to happen in a very, very strange way. So I want you to listen to this. Because you remember how I told you that the Syrians had fought against the Israelites? Well, that's true. And what happened was that the Syrians, this is Naaman's country, had brought back from Israel people, some mummies and daddies, some granny and grandas, but some boys and girls. And they had captured them out of their homes, and they had just taken them away. And in Naaman's house was this wee girl, and the Bible calls her a little maid. So she would have been doing housework, maybe she would have been washing dishes, doing ironing. She'd be a useful girl in your house, wouldn't she? She was doing ironing, and maybe she was begging, doing all these different chores. And you know, the whispers started to go around the house. Maybe Naaman had other servants. I'm sure he did. He had lots of servants. And people would say, "Did you hear the news? Did you hear the news? Naaman's got leprosy." "What?" "Oh, aye, that's right enough." And the whispers started to spread round and round. And the wee maid, she heard the whispers. And she said, "Is this right?" And she found out it was true. And boys and girls, there was something special about this wee maid, because this wee maid loved the Lord Jesus. She loved God. And this wee maid loved her God. She worshipped her God. She knew her God. And this wee maid knew that the God that she worshipped and adored could help Naaman. All right. So she went up to Mrs. Naaman and she tugged on Mrs. Naaman's dress and she said, Mrs. Naaman, I need to speak to you. And Naaman's wife turned around and said, what is it, dear? And she said, would God the Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. In other words, if I could get your husband to go back to Israel, there's a prophet of God there, and he will heal your husband. Boys and girls, this was great news. Do you know, boys and girls, it took a lot of guts, didn't it? It took a lot of guts for this wee girl to do this. And you know, boys and girls, if you're saved, and I know some of you are, I wonder, would you have the guts? It's hard, isn't it, to speak up for God? This wee girl spoke up for her God. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And you know, that's what we should be like. We should be not ashamed. Little maid was definitely not ashamed. I'm sure she was nervous, but she wasn't ashamed of her Lord and Savior. Now, the word spread very quickly to Naaman. And you know, Naaman got very excited because Naaman had been searching for a cure for his problem. You know, men and women and boys and girls are searching every day for a cure, to get a peace in their heart. You know, sometimes they search in the wrong places. But he had heard this, and to him, this was another opportunity for him to be cured. So he thought about it, and he thought, prophet and Israel, forget about the prophet bit. Israel, let's think about Israel. Who can I go to the top of Israel? Who was he best friends with? He was best friends with the king of Syria. So he went to the king of Syria and we had maybe a wee cup of tea and they talked a wee minute or two. And then the king of Syria said, okay, this is what we'll do. I'll send a letter from me being king of Syria to the king of Israel and tell him to get you healed. Ha, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So they got a piece of paper and they wrote a big letter out. In those days, the letters were like this here. That's a funny way to make a letter. It was like a scroll, a parchment. And he got that in his hand and he says, I've got authority to the very top. I'll take it from one king to the next king. Couldn't get better than that. And then in the letter, of course, the king had asked for the king of Israel to heal him. And then Naaman thought a wee while longer. And some people do this too. They thought, I've got plenty of money. I'm rich. So he got a big bag of money, like this here, stuffed it full of money. And the Bible tells us that he took 10 talents of silver, and he took, listen to this, 6,000 pieces of gold. Not a lot of gold. And he put it, maybe it was a bigger bag than this, and he put it in a bag, and he said, I've got everything I need. And then he thought, I'd better take some clothes. So he didn't just take one change of clothes. Oh, no, no. No, no. Remember Prince Harry? Well, Naaman, he was a pretty smart-looking guy. And R.H. Gultz been very glad for Naaman to be about in those days, because Naaman, he took 10 changes of clothes. Imagine, 10 changes of clothes with him. He had to be looking his best. And he got Mrs. Naaman and all the servants to put everything into the big chariot. And there was a big, big chariot, and there was horses up this side and horses up this other side, and there were servants, and he set off. Boys and girls, did the wee maid say anything about money? Did the wee maid say anything about a letter from the king? Did she even tell him to go to the king? No. You see, boys and girls, Naaman had his own plans. He thought it would be good to put his plans alongside God's plans. You know, men and women and boys and girls do this all the time. They think, yes, Jonathan, I have heard the gospel in the children's meetings. I've heard how we get saved. But I'm a good person. And I'm actually, I've got a bit of money in my piggy bank and I can give to some good charities. And I know people like the king that Naaman knew. And I know Mr. Park and he's a good man. And if I stick close by him and I go to a good church, then I'll be all right. Boys and girls, that's not what the Bible says. You see, boys and girls, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And our ways are works. We think we can work our way to heaven. But there's a verse in the Bible, and it says that for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So his works were going to be no good. Well, we'll find out. How did his plans go? He arrives before the king, and he knocks the door, and he goes into the king, and he gives him the letter, and the king opens the letter, and he reads it. And at the bottom of it, he reads the letter, and it says, "Please heal Naaman, my servant. Signed, King of Syria." And the king was very, very distraught, boys and girls. The king, you maybe can't see this very well, but he's holding the letter here. And he says, "Who am I?" And the words in the Bible, it says, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? How could I heal somebody? I'm a king, but how could I?" And he gets very distraught. And he gets so worried, he actually thinks that the king of Syria is planning a trick on him. Anybody ever play a trick on you? And he thinks, this is a setup. What am I going to do? And he gets so distressed that he starts to tear his clothes. Imagine. He's very, very, very worried. And boys and girls, Naaman's plan wasn't working. Naaman was there. He was holding this fancy letter, and he was sitting there all cowered over with diseased face and big scabs and all over him. He had tried his own plan, but it hadn't worked. But you know, boys and girls, God is so loving and so caring. He actually does something. The word spreads around, and Elisha hears about this. And Elisha, the prophet, sends word to the king and says, "Send Naaman to me." And he says, "Let Naaman know that there is a prophet of God in Israel." All right, so the main reason Elisha sent Naaman was to glorify God. I wonder, is that why we're telling others about Jesus? We want to glorify God. And so, boys and girls, God spoke once again. And Naaman got the word again. And Naaman got back out of the palace. And he got into his big carriage again. And he had horses. I imagine he had horses up each side, and he rode away to Prophet Naaman, or Prophet Elisha's house. And you know, I was thinking about this, and I can just imagine this big cavalcade of stuff coming up to Naaman's house, or to Elisha's house, sorry. And Elisha would have been an ordinary man, and he just lived in a wee house like me and you, just an ordinary house, not a big fancy house. And here, would have been a bit like the president of the U.S. coming up to your house, and all these boys and bodyguards and all coming, and they stopped in front of Elisha's door. And I can imagine all the noise of all those hoofs and the chariots, and they all stopped, and the dust settled. And Naaman stepped out of his carriage, all dressed up, and he waited for something to happen. And nothing happened for a wee minute. And then the door of Elisha's wee house, it opened, and this wee man came out of the door. And the wee man had a message. He was a messenger. Messengers have messages. And this wee man had a message. And he went straight up to Naaman, and he says, "Naaman, I have a message for you. Go and dip 7 times in Jordan, and your flesh will become clean." End of story. Wee man goes back into the house, closes the door. Oh, Naaman was not a bit pleased. Who do they think? They don't know who I am. He had the stripes. He had all the things here. He had the nice uniform. And he was standing there. He expected a completely different thing to happen. And boys and girls, he started to get cross. First of all, he said, "I thought that they would come out and that he would call upon his God, and he would spread out his hands, and he would strike the place, and he would save my leprosy, he would heal me. He expected a bit of a commotion. And then he started to think again, what did he tell me? Elisha hadn't even the manners to come out. He sent this messenger, and he didn't do anything, and I'm standing here, and all he's told me is to go and... And I thought, dip in Jordan? Jordan? Jordan's a dirty old river. Why would I dip in Jordan? Arabana and Pharpar, are they not nice clean rivers back home? Isn't this silly? I'm supposed to be washing to be clean, and he's telling me to go and dip in a dirty river. Oh dear. And he was really cross. And you know, boys and girls, sometimes whenever we don't get our way, what do we do? Huff. Did you ever huff? You know, boys and girls sometimes can huff. And you know something very sad? Some big people can huff too, whenever they don't get their way. Even some Christians can huff. And Naaman was huffing. And he stumps away. And his mind, where was he going to go to? He was going to get back home. He was ready to, I'm fed up with this. You ever hear people saying, I'm away. All right, he was away. And you know, God intervened again. How many times has God intervened? The little maid, Elisha telling him to come to his house. And now God intervenes again. God loves, even if you're a sinner and you're walking away from God, God loves you. Isn't that amazing? God still loves you, even though that you're a sinner. And this time, it was one of his own servants came running after him. He says, hold on a minute, Naaman, stop. And Naaman stopped, and he turned around, and the servant said, Father, or Master, if the prophet had asked you to do some hard thing, you'd have done it. Because he knew how much he wanted to get rid of this leprosy. If the prophet had asked you to do some hard thing, you'd have done it. But all he has asked you to do is wash and be clean. You know, boys and girls, this reminds me of the gospel. Because the gospel is so simple that boys and girls your age can understand it. And yet Naaman was trying to do things a different way. He had in his mind how he was going to be healed. Some boys and girls and some mommies and daddies have it in their mind how they're going to be healed. But God has his own plan. And God's plan is the gospel. It's very, very simple. It's a very, very simple thing. And you know, there's a wee verse that everybody probably in this whole congregation knows. And it's John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, boys and girls, we'll flick on here. This is him. He's very cross. And the servant had stopped him. And something happened at this stage. He stopped. And this time, God started to work in his heart. You know, God started to strive in his heart. You know, God can strive in your heart, just no matter what age you are. Whenever I was a wee boy of six, God spoke to me. And God started to strive in Naaman's heart. And he did something. And he did something that was very, very important, boys and girls. He turned from going stumping away in the wrong direction. He was going away this direction here. And he did an about turn. And he started to come back this direction. And he went towards Jordan. Do you remember the smelly river? The one he didn't want to go to? He was starting to obey what God had said, wasn't he? And he went towards there, and he started also to believe that this was going to work. This was going to, something that was going to happen. And you know, boys and girls, we can see him here, and he goes right into the river. And we're going to pause there just for a wee minute, because there's two things happened here, and I want to illustrate those so that you never forget what salvation is and how we can be saved. And I've got two And whenever we talk about salvation, there's two pillars of salvation. There's a big pillar like that. What does that say? Yes, Lewis? Faith, good man. Okay. So Naaman had faith. All right. And he also had, remember, he had turned around. He had also repented. And there's two boys going to bring this big talk back to me, Aaron. And boys and girls, we have to have faith in God. Naaman had to have faith in God. And he had to repent. We're going to be talking, this is going to be our theme even tonight, so come back tonight and we're going to be talking about somebody else that had faith and repentance. We're going to set this up on top. All right, good man. There we are. Okay, a wee bit of dirt in that, but don't worry about that. So, faith and repentance. My daddy used to use the illustration, you can't have one without the other. He used to say you can't have ice without water, and you can't have heat without the sun. And that's true. And if you want to be saved, if you want to be sure that you're going to heaven, you need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to repent. You know, some modern churches today are saying you don't have to repent. Well, that's wrong, boys and girls. We have to repent from our sins. So, well, let's get back to Naaman again. Naaman had got to the water, and he had dipped in, disappeared, he's gone, hasn't he? And then, there he's back up again. He dipped in the once, down, up. He dipped in second time, he's up. He dipped in the third time, oops, going the wrong way. Dipped in the third time, there we are now. And so on until, boys and girls, he dipped in the fourth time and the fifth time. And you know, boys, how do we know, boys and girls, how do we know that Naaman was a changed person, that he was now trusting in God? What would the old Naaman done? The old Naaman would have looked, after he dipped down the first time, he would have had a wee look, and I'm sure we would all have been the same. You know, we juke just to see what was happening, wouldn't you? You'd be down, and you'd be down the second time, and you'd be looking and saying, still there. Down the third time, still there. And what would the old Naaman have done? The old Naaman, who wasn't convicted of his sin, who was a proud man, he would say, enough of that, I'm away. But no, God was working in his heart. And Naaman remembered what Elisha had told him, and he dipped the seventh time. And boys and girls, it tells us something miraculous happens, because Naaman came up the seventh time and his flesh was white as snow, as clean. In fact, the Bible tells us his flesh was like a little child. Do you ever feel a wee baby's skin? It was perfectly clean and nice and soft. What happened, boys and girls? God had worked a miracle in Naaman's life. And you know, boys and girls, God can work a miracle in your life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And you know, everything become new with Naaman. He was a changed person. Boys and girls, how did that happen? Remember? He stepped out in faith. Naaman had to step down into the water. Remember, he had to plunge into the water. He went down into the water. And we have to do the same. If we're going to be saved, then we have to have faith in our hearts to believe that God is all-powerful and mighty to save us. And we have to have repentance. We have to do an about turn. We have to turn away from our sin and our hard hearts like Naaman had. And God has promised if those two things are in our hearts, then we will be saved. You know, my prayer this morning is that some boy or girl will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. I'm sure Naaman was all excited. Can you imagine? He'd be rolling up his sleeves and he'd be saying, come here, look. We're going out of the water. Look. You know, boys and girls, if we get saved, that's what we should be doing. We should be telling others about the change in our lives. So remember faith and repentance, salvation. Remember Naaman, how he gets saved, how his life was saved, and how our life can be saved. Remember about the sin and how we have a problem with sin and how God can save us from our sin. Thank you.